Welcome to the Hooked Hunting Podcast. My name's Connor Olstead. I'm here with Ken Byers, Larry Nairt, Matt Ritchie from Hornady joining us on the podcast today. But today we're talking about a couple different things. Ballistics will be one of them because I got quite a few questions when it comes to the bullets. It's been a minute since I've done this, so hopefully I hit the right button, but we'll see. Nope. Alrighty, welcome. And here we are at our first stop on our yearly trek in doing the whitetail and mule deer hunting. And one thing, I don't know if you guys know this about Matt, but he is a PRS shooter. And so he's got some history when behind the trigger, especially at the longer ranges.
Now, hold on a minute. Did you say PRS shooter?
Yeah, what? Precision rifle series.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I thought that might have been the cooties I caught when I was in grade school.
Okay.
No, and what's your kind of match experience?
So, with the job that I have at Hornady, I do get to do a lot of traveling for matches and support. You know, PRS is a precision rifle series. It's a precision long range shooting competition. That's a very rapidly growing sport. An offshoot of that one, another as popular one is the NRL Hunter matches, but predominantly shoot a lot of PRS. So we're talking target engagements from 400 yard, 350 to beyond, sometimes beyond 1,000, depending on how sadistic the match director is. And then so you're not laying prone on all of these different stages. You're moving from positional stuff, shooting off of, cars or a tank trap or a barricade, so a stair step barricade. It's all on the clock, so you have anywhere from 90 seconds to 2 minutes depending on how the stage is set up to shoot 10 to 12 shots. And so and it's varying distances, so you might shoot a troop line, what they call a troop line. You might go 400 500 600 800 and then come back, and two shots per target and all on the clock.
Assume you're usually doing this with the bolt gun.
Yep. It's there is a gas gun division in the PRS, but the majority of the guys that are shooting it are shooting bolt action rifles, full custom chassis guns and running a lot of Manners composite stocks, or MDT chassis, MPA chassis. So
all the Legos that they put together with those.
Yep.
Cool. Well, in light of that, I've kind of created a little quiz here for you guys. So I've been out in the field with Matt a good fair amount, and I've just been asking him a lot of questions about bullets, ballistics, whatever. What's the difference between this and that? And so I'm gonna describe somebody, and I want each one of yours opinion as to what cartridge you think they should shoot. Okay. All right. Because there's a wide range of cartridges out there, as we all know, and they are all getting changed up quite a bit. And so I'd love to get your guys' input on each one of those. So I'm a Midwestern hunter. I hunt whitetail every year. I've been saving up my preference points for a Colorado elk hunt. What rifle round should I buy? Or what rifle should I buy chambered in what round? Anybody have a first knee-jerk reaction?
Well, let me step in on this. I'm gonna rob Larry's thunder. But I remember when we were out in Idaho, both Larry and I, and he was talking with a local fella there that just knew that he had the caliber of all calibers, and it was a 7mm mag. And Larry's like, man, that's not bad for a porcupine gun. I think you can run a bullet through that, and he'll just shake a little bit, but still hang on. And so I'm just going to go old fashioned and just roll right with the 300 Win Mag for elk. I mean, it's one that there's lots of bullets choices and a lot of variety, if you will, to make something. If you're a small statured person, you can still make it comfortable to shoot. And the 300 just gets it done for elk.
All right.
Well, I was going to be a little more milder on the industry right now, and say a one guy, a one gun guy, 30 caliber. And there's so many different 30 calibers out there. And yes, Ken, I cut my teeth with a 300 Win Mag. That was my first big game rifle, my first elk I took with that. And there's a lot of 30 caliber guns. And at the time, the 7mm, when I was, you know, I'm the old guy at the table here, we didn't have the bullets we have today. And some of the problems with the 7mm at that time, they had a hard time holding together on big animals, and they made a mess of a whitetail. So as time has progressed, the bullets, and you take Hornady is off the charts. I mean, to me, they're leading the industry in bullets. I mean, I've been reloading for many, many years, and they've got, their bullets have come a long, long way. And that's the difference. But still today, I just told this to a guy not a couple days ago. If you're a one-gun man and you want to hunt everything, my recommendation is a 30 caliber, okay? Yeah. Because you can do it all with that. And you can load it down where it isn't abusive to you. And you can kill everything in North America and half of Africa with it. So
yeah,
that'd be my recommendation for the one gun.
Okay.
Well, since I work at Hornady, but that has nothing to do with it, I would say one of the newer cartridges that we just came out with, the 7 PRC. Last year, my two oldest kids both took their whitetail deer with them, Central Nebraska deer. So they were big body deer at 400 yards, both of them, one shot, done. But then I've shot at some. I know a lot of guys there at work have taken it. One guy, Seth, who is in the marketing department with me, but he's taken it to Africa and shot a lot of big game, or plains game. I should say plains mm-hmm. game there. But that 7 PRC with like our ELDX line of bullets, or we've got a 160 grain all copper bullet. If you really wanted to like anchor an elk and put it through both shoulders, that would be the one to do it. And it's a good enough cartridge. It's efficient. You don't have to just stand on it to get the performance out of it.
Yeah.
Like my daughter was 15 and she maybe weighs 100 pounds and she shot that gun perfectly, you know, at that whitetail. So that one, and like I said, not because I work at Hornady, but if I had to pick one gun, like Larry was saying, one gun to do it, that 7 PRC would be my choice.
So. See, the other part, when I mentioned we didn't have the bullets in the 7mm. 7mm ballistic coefficient and then bullets is up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a accurate round, no doubt about it. And with the bullets that we have today at our disposal, it can do it.
Yeah, because you were saying earlier about the speed, like the bullets just couldn't handle the speed that
exactly
they were putting behind them.
They'd come unglued. Hornady, a couple years ago, I took an elk in Wyoming, a nice bull, and I was running the CX bullet. Now I call it something that's got a new name. It's like the Barnes.
It's all copper.
All copper.
And I took a bullet 300 yards through both front shoulders, and I got the bullet, popped it out of the hide on the other side like a zit, and put it on the scale, and it was 179, and I just couldn't make it go 180 on the scale, but it was right there. So that bullet, that bullet retention, it did a heck of a deal. But that's the thing with the 7mm today, the bullets we have, it can get it done, it can hold together, and ballistic coefficient. And when you start wanting to shoot down range, long range, it's a little superior in the BC than the 30 cals till you get into the big bullets and the 30 cals, you know, the mm-hmm. 210s, 220 green bullets, and you can get up there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, for that 7 PRC, like Ken was saying, or not Ken, but Larry was saying, the 180 ELDMs, I was at an event. We did a training event for some Shields employees out at Leupold's place. They've got a really nice range, and we were shooting out to a mile with factory guns and factory ammunition. We had 23 guys there, and they had 6 shots to hit that mile target. And we're talking an IPSC man, a man-sized target, and 21 of the 23 hit that man-sized target in less than 6 shots.
Wow.
Cool. And it was factory guns, factory ammunition. So that it's an impressive round. And Larry's right. Those, the new 7mm bullets, the BCs on them are just amazing, and yeah. they're efficient. So you don't have to hot rod them to get the performance.
And briefly, for those who don't understand ballistic coefficient or what that exactly is, can you have a? I know Larry, you gave me a brief overview not too long ago about really just what that means.
Well, you know, a long time ago, like I said, I've been reloading a long time, and to make it simple, it's how something flies through the air. So the scenario I would give somebody is, you know, you got a 230 grain round nose bullet. That's a basketball. So you take a basketball and throw that through the air, and then you take a football and you throw that through the air. The BC on that football is way better, cuts the air better, flies, and you can throw it somewhere. So that's basically what BC is. The higher that BC number, the better that bullet's going to cut through the air. It's going to fly and hit its mark at a long way away.
Cool.
To add to that, yeah. or to another way that I've heard that represented is to quote Jaden Quinlan. So, Jaden, if you hear this and I butchered it, I apologize. But another way he equated it to was fuel mileage. So if you were to jump in a Greyhound bus and drive it across the United States, it's and record its fuel mileage, then jump in a Corvette and do the same thing, it's going to have a better fuel mileage because right. it's a more efficient shape.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Very cool. All right. All right. My next one, I'm a Southeastern hunter. I've never hunted elk and have no interest in doing so. I shoot hogs and coyotes and I like to hunt whitetail the most. What round should I go with?
Let's rotate this up. Start out, Matt.
Well, a lot of those Southern guys are going to say 35 Whalen, but I'm going to say 6.5 Creedmoor. That is do it. If a whitetail deer is the biggest thing you're ever going to shoot, or maybe a, you know, 250 pound or
Southeastern pound, hunter,
Southeastern.
So yeah. remember, cause the deer are tiny, yeah.
but they also got big hogs. So
yeah,
I'm still going to say, and it's a do all gun and your kids can shoot it. Your wife can shoot it, you know, 6.5 Creedmoor with, either a 143 ELDX or a copper bullet.
So. Okay. All right. Ken, what about you? What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm a Creedmoor fan, so I kind of agree with what Matt has to say for sure. There's so many new cartridges out. I remember not that long ago, the Lever Evolution that Hornady came out with, the 30-30 and 45-70 and the various calibers and levers. And some people just love those actions. And you get in the Southeast where you're not shooting long distances. That would be a fun alternative. Creedmoor just gets it done. It just gets it done. So, you know, if you just blinked your eyes and you went back 20 years and the Creedmoor wasn't around, then you might look at some other alternative, but that's where I would roll.
All right, Larry.
Well, the country you're in, and there's no doubt the 6.5, I call it rage that's went on here over the last several years it's been amazing. And, you know, I had a lot of buddies that said, why don't you get into the Creedmoor? I said, well, let's see. I've got a 6.5 by 284 Norma that I've had in a rifle that, you know, I've had for years. But for the hunting you're describing and the animals that they're going to, yeah, there's these new rounds, but I'm a little old fashioned. Heck, I might just settle in with an old 308. But,
that's a good choice, Larry. That was on the tip of my tongue.
It would get it done. And some of the things with that is you still, man, any gas station or hardware, middle of nowhere, you can find 308 ammo. Sometimes I get low on ammo.
Yep, that's true.
So, yeah, I mean, they all would work, but you don't need a big bore, a lot of recoil to do that type of hunting of the game that we're talking about there, right. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Go on to the next one. I'm an older hunter that wants to shoot a big game like elk. I want a round with less recoil, but I would like to go to 500 or 600 yards if possible.
Well, I'm sitting on a new round I just bought.
And, okay.
This year, Weatherby, I just bought a new Weatherby 338, like I said, RPM. It's in a short action rifle, so it got the weight down. The recoil is really manageable. I mean, I shot a lot of weapons, a lot of different guns over the years, and that round right there, I've been playing with it here through the summer, and I brought it out here and shot my deer with. That would be a great round to go on an elk hunt with and certainly get you out that 400 or 500. And
where do you think it could stretch to?
I played with it on my range with, but I was running like a 185 grain bullet. And, I mean, I'm out to 700 ringing 12 inch dongs with it with no problem. So
okay.
Very, very, you know, comparable action.
Okay.
It shoots very nice and smooth.
And yours is suppressed, right? So
it's, yeah, we
suppress it. Takes a little recoil that way too.
Yeah. I mean, it just absolutely, I mean, Ken, you were laying right there, you know, next to me, and I pulled the trigger out there in the environment, not on my range at home. And, I mean, I'm absolutely amazed how quiet it was outside like that. I mean, I've had where I've hunt, you know, years back before we had all the breaks, and we had this thing called Magnaport. A guy knew, started a business, and it would deafen you. You shoot you shoot one of these guns with a break or the porting without hearing protection, you've damaged your ears, and you've got it. You got an earache for a while. This thing here, it is so nice not to have, because I always got earplugs or something that you're trying to. It's all part of your next move before the shot, right? Mm-hmm. Man, that is so nice to have out of the equation. You know, Silencer Central, this Banish that I got. I mean, I'm amazed with it. Did a great job.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Matt. I'm still pondering.
I'm still thinking 7 PRC.
Yeah.
I don't have one yet. That is going to be my next big, you know, big cartridge. You know, that'll probably be the one that I do. Because okay. It's just watching my kids shoot that gun and shoot it effectively. And I run a suppressor also. I won't shoot a hunt. If I'm hunting, that gun's going to have a suppressor on it. But, yeah, 7 PRC and easily take an elk at 500-600 yards, easily.
Where do you think that could stretch to?
Well, I'd have to run Ford off to see. But and the other thing would be, what elevation are we talking? Are we talking 5, 6, 7,000 feet? I'm, without looking at the ballistics or the calculator, easily to 800 yards. Okay. I mean, especially with the ELDX, because the ELDX will still expand at like 1,650 feet per second. So,
and what grain bullet do you think?
Well, if I'm going factory loaded ammunition, 175 ELDX.
Okay. Yep. Okay, and what would be the velocity on that? Something like that.
I think
for a 7 PRC,
I would say if my memory serves me correctly, out of a 20 or 22 inch barrel, it's still just a tick over 2,900 feet per second.
Okay,
at the muzzle. All so,
right. Zipping. All right, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, what these guys just said is just a tremendous amount of knowledge, and I'm going to just change it up a little bit. You can go with what Larry said on behalf of the Southeast, is sticking with a 30 cal, working that short action, super light rifle, making it easy on carrying up and down the hill. And whether that's a 30-06 or a 308, you definitely can anchor an elk out to 300-400 yards with the new bullets and the new loads and so forth. That sounds like kind of a boring answer, but I guarantee you, and that elk standing out there on that hillside, when that bullet, that 308 bullet goes through his shoulder, he's just as dead as with some of these other, you know, calibers that have been mentioned. So
it would be not a Magnum round. It's what you're saying. You're saying like a 308.
Yeah. I started with a 270. The reason why I started with a 270 is because everybody had a 30-06.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to just be carrying a 30-06 like everybody else. And that's kind of where, Larry earlier mentioned the 6.5 Creedmoor. The Rage is, in a sense, if you're starting out a young hunter or just a new hunter, easy on the shoulder, the Creedmoor just kills everything deer size and down. And even before I bought my first Creedmoor, I called Wayne Vance Wall, who's in our camp right now. I said, elk, Creedmoor. He said, it'd do it. So
yeah, you've killed a elk with a Creedmoor.
A couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that you didn't mention that earlier. But okay, cool. Next one. I'm a coyote hunter. I like suppressors to stay as quiet as possible. I want a gas gun for lots of rounds, and I like to shoot far. What round should this coyote hunter go with?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I just set one of those deals up And again, another new cartridge that come out. It's called the 6mm Arc.
Okay.
And I've got that in a gas gun. Back in Michigan, there's a fellow that, builds a really nice rifle. And I got one of them, set it up. And, of course, I went. And, again, I set up 50 to 75 guns a year for people. I set them up, scope, and bring them out. And when we put ammo and they buy ammo, okay, I'm going to just tell you this. It don't matter what they buy. 9 out of 10 times, the factory ammunition, Horn 80 Precision ammo is what it falls on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I figured, well, I'm going to try to find ammo. You know, we got a little jammed up here a year ago or so trying to get ammo. It was tough, and I settled in with the Horn 80s 100 grain, their match for the 6mm Arc. And I'm going to tell you what, I was going to reload. I'm a reloader, and I wanted to get, you know, something fast that, you know, just knocked the sock. But I'm going to tell you what, this factory 100 grain stuff, blow your mind, because it's a one-holer. I mean, it's shooting quarter-inch, 4 or 5-shot groups at 100 yards, quarter-inch. And it'll stretch out. It'll stretch out there and get it done. So I'm not planning on reloading. So I ordered a bunch more just factory, same lot, and that's where I'm sitting. That is
six arc. Yeah, that's a good round. Yeah. That's and your the main thing behind that, I'm guessing that's why you're saying that, is the speed.
The speed.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And the knockdown. You know, like the 6.5 Grendel, that's kind of like where it starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
This, and that's a great round. But this arc, if you want to just, like I'm saying, turn their lights out for them right out of the gate, it gets it done.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Either one of you have a good suggestion for this coyote hunter?
Well, I would echo what Larry said in a 6 arc, especially in a gas gun. You know, you can do everything you need to with that 6 arc in that gun and go with a 16-inch barrel. Or I think we've even tested that down to, you know, 11 inches or 10-inch barrels, and it just still performs. But I'm going to add another layer to that, and I would say, because I don't know about where you guys are at, but Nebraska night hunting, you know, the mm-hmm. the advancements in thermal optics and stuff like that is getting just, it's just leaps and bounds of, you know, from what it was 5 years ago. So I would have a 6 arc for my day gun, and then I would have another upper with a thermal on it in 22 arc. And the reason I say 22 arc, and that's, I know I work for Hornady, and I'm not, this isn't the Hornady podcast, but
yeah.
That 22 arc, you know, it's 22 250 performance in a gas gun. And so flat shooting, you know, 300-400 yards, just hold hair, as they say, and just let her rip. So especially night hunting, where knowing the distance you're shooting at is very hard to figure out, especially with thermals, unless you've got one that has a built-in rangefinder. But yeah.
So just to kind of dissect that a little bit, you're saying that switch to the 22 arc because of, one, the harder part for distance, yep, because it's faster.
Yep. It's just a way flatter. It's 22 250 trajectories and everything like that performance in a gas gun, a 16-inch barreled gas gun. So.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, let me jump in. The 6mm arc, no doubt, is probably the top choice overall, but I ran the 6.5 Grendel prior to that caliber being born. And that is a really solid choice as well. You can't really have this conversation without talking the 223 or the 5.56, only because the ammo, to Larry's comment, it's everywhere. And with that being said, that's worth at least acknowledging.
Yeah.
You know,
where
the 22 arc and the 6mm arc are just, I mean, it, next level within those calibers, but that's my two cents.
Yeah, and to address what you said about, you know, this not being the Hornady podcast or whatever, that, I mean, that, yeah, that's true, but to be honest, like, Hornady has developed a good amount of rounds, and they make bullets for, you know, the people that are doing these things, and the reloaders, and just about everybody. So yeah,
that's kind of our, you know, we're Jason will always say we're a bullet company first, and that's, we, yeah, have a, everybody, we have a lot of bullets that we make, a lot of different ones for specific needs. And that's why,
yeah,
because not one bullet will do everything. So We want to make sure you guys, the shooters out there, have an option for what they're trying to accomplish.
And, you know, if you guys were all bird hunters and shotgun shooters, then I'd be asking you shotgun questions, but that's not what's going on here. We got some riflemen behind the counter. So, and actually that brings up something that you had said about the 22 Creedmoor. Well, actually, let me back up a second. The 6-arc versus the 6.5 Grendel. What's the difference, and why? Like, why should somebody consider one over the other?
So the 6-arc is the 6.5 Grendel and the 6-arc all come from the same parent case, the 220 Russian or the 6 PPC. You know, they all kind of started their life. I think 220 Russian was the original parent case, and then it became a 6 PPC. And as wildcatters do, they manipulate and change things and open up the case mouth, change shoulder angle, body taper, all of that stuff. So, but the 6-arc is we had to shorten that case and then change the body taper and change the shoulder angle to accommodate the long 6mm bullets. This, you know, I say long 6mm, I'm saying heavy for caliber. So the 103 ELDXs, 105 Bowtell hollow points, 108 ELDMs, 110 A-tips, those are all heavy for caliber bullets. They're really long. So to get them to work in a standard AR mag, we had to shorten the case to accommodate those longer bullets. So that's where it's different than the Grendel in that regards. So you get better performance because the 6mm bullets are more efficient. That BC, they have higher BCs mm-hmm. than the bullets intended for the 6.5 Grendel. So like the 123 grain ELDMs and those bullets, they're a little bit larger in diameter. They're shorter, so they're not as efficient in flight.
Yeah. Are they faster? Are they flying faster?
No. The Grendel, because of that larger bullet diameter, heavier bullets, they it gives up some velocity.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. And then when it comes to like the 22 ARC versus the 22 Creedmoor, what would be the difference there?
The main thing is case capacity. 22 Creedmoor is just it's a neck down 6.5 Creedmoor case, but it's a hot rod. I guess for me, the redneck version of it's an overboard cartridge, you know, for the case diameter, for the bullet diameter is not, you know, there's some engineering aspects there that the smarter people at Hornady like to figure out for, you know, what length and diameter of case they need for the bullet diameter. So the 22 Creedmoor, it fills that niche market. There's a lot of guys in South Texas that culled a lot of does off their property, and they want something that's super fast and they can shoot it, you know, quite a bit, quite often, and have their kids do it and not get beat up too bad. So they run that 22 Creedmoor and shoot a lot of does off of it. That's like Horizon Firearms in Texas. They're the kind of the main guys pushing that 22 Creedmoor, but way more case capacity, way more velocity. But I would, the dichotomy to that is barrel life. The 22 Creedmoor is going to eat a barrel up pretty quickly.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Maybe not for somebody that doesn't know how to play Legos with guns. Okay. I have one more person, a Texas hunter who likes to hunt Awdad, hunts hogs around home, but what really trips his trigger is bighorn sheep and Alaskan bear. So doesn't have to be one round if you have two that this person should go with, but he's looking for a new gun. What do you think he should get?
Go Lair.
Well, I, you know, Alaska brown bear, that puts you into the next level of what you really need, in my mind. I've shot a 375 H&H mag for years. I've taken whitetail, mule deer, elk, and half of the plains game in Africa with that round. But it's not for everybody. That wouldn't be my recommendation. He wants to do the Awdads. He wants to hunt the hogs. So he still needs to be able to reach out there. Awdad hunting, you're going to be reaching out there. Mm-hmm. And again, this is where I grew up and cut my teeth with a gun that could do it all is a 30 cal. With the bullets we have today, a 30 caliber, many of the manufacturers make the gun that can get it done. And again, when you go to these all jacketed bullets mm-hmm. and you take a 220 grain bullet, jacketed bullet out of a 30 cal of one of the heavy hitter 30 cals that are out there, it will flatten any of them.
So which one do you think? What are you going to chamber it in?
You know, and again, Hornady and the PR, you know, Matt here has talked about the 7M PRC. They come out with the 300 PRC a few years ago. Weatherby 300 Weatherby. Mm-hmm. Okay. A Winchester, you know, we talked about that earlier, you know, just a 300 Win Mag. Mm-hmm. Any of those cartridges with the bullets we have today will fill the bill on all that and get you out for the odd dad with a bullet that can get you out there some long range and in a hunting situation. Again, I've killed elk with 30 calibers, my 375s, 338s. There's a lot of guns can get it done, but I'm a guy that's got a week off or 7-day hunt and I'm heading for the mountains. I'm going to tell you this, I'm not going to be undergunned. And if there's an elk 300 yards away going up the mountain, I'm going to have confidence when I send one in because I'm going to take him down. And that's 30 cal would be my minimum. And that's three. And then any of the, like I say, the manufacturers out there, the 300 PRC, the 300 Weatherby Mag, the 300 Win Mag, all of them mm-hmm. would get the job done as a one gun to even take that big bear.
Ken, I know you got to dip out quick and chat with somebody. What's your round?
Yeah, I mean, actually, Larry summed it up.
Okay.
I can't even deviate. I can't be more creative with a little language. I'm gonna just go ditto on that one.
I'm interested to hear then if Matt, if you have the same conclusion.
I'm definitely going. I'm also thinking what Larry's thinking, 30 cal, but I am because I love what our engineers have been doing, the 300 PRC. I could, you know.
When did that round come out?
It's been out for probably 5 years now.
Okay.
I might be off on that plus or minus a year, but it's been out for a little while, but that, especially, you know, Brown Bear, the 180 CX in that, in the factory loaded ammunition, or if we're doing a sheep hunt, 212 ELDXs where you're going to have to reach out there, OutAd, all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The 300 PRC.
So. Okay. And PRC, that's, what does that exactly stand for?
Stands for precision rifle cartridge.
Okay. Okay. So is a name that Hornady is tagged essentially for kind of like Creedmoor or whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So 6 ARC, 22 ARC. Yep. The advanced rifle cartridge is what the ARC stands for. PRC's precision rifle cartridge, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple more questions. Regarding rounds, I want to really, in layman's terms, go through the differences between two rounds. Okay, and in this, so like for the for example, the 6.5 RPM versus 6.5 PRC. So Weatherby's RPM would be the 6.5 versus PRC. In reality, what is the difference between the two of those?
Feet per second. And then I would say probably some design features on the cartridges in the chamber. I guess I, you know, the Weatherby's kind of synonymous with the double radius shoulder. So they've got the when you go from the body to the start of the shoulder, it's got a radius. And then when a rounded, it's not a sharp corner. And then when it transitions out of the shoulder to the neck, it's got another radius. So that's kind of synonymous with the Weatherby cartridges.
What does that do?
You know, that's a, I don't know why they did the radius. I don't know if it was to give more case capacity or what case capacity for powder. I don't know for sure on that. I can't answer that, but
yeah,
from what I would know of the two cartridges, that's going to be the case design, chamber design, and which lends to more velocity and stuff like that.
Okay.
So
yeah, it stays at it with the 6.5 range. Okay. You got the Grendel, the Creedmoor, then my Norma, then the PRC would come in there. And then, you know, I have a Weatherby 6.5 RPM and, I reloaded, the Hornady 143 ELDs. I took a 600-pound black bear with it, and I mean, I turned him upside down. And I chronographed. That's with a chronograph. I was 3,065 feet a second.
Wow.
Is that on a long action, Larry?
No, that's on a short action.
It's a short action.
So basically, the 338 RPM is the same case. necked out to the 338. So it's not running like the 338 Win Mag, but it ain't far behind. I mean, it's, again, it's the, they're out there. Okay. It's marketing and new things. And I'm having fun with it. these new cartridges, I was saying, I'm not going there. You know, I'm not going to do that. But this 6.5, you know, RPM I have, it's been a delightful deal. It's, like I said, I took a 600-pound black bear. I loaded, reloaded. I had to get by dies because I, you know, wanted to see what I could really get out of this gun from factory ammo. And, you know, it's a lightweight pencil barrel, and the two shots will touch at 100 yards, and then you got to walk away. You just can't keep shooting them like barrel guns. But, yeah, I mean, I took a great Michigan black bear with it that absolutely blew my mind. I mean,
okay.
I rolled him over, and it was just smoke coming out of it. The death moan was short, let me say that.
Yeah.
Question on really not the difference between, but the difference in uses, 6.5 Creedmoor versus 6mm Creedmoor. Where would you use one over the other?
Really, the 6 Creedmoor, you know, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with that cartridge, and not hate in a bad way, but I shot thousands and thousands of bullets out of a 6 Creedmoor, especially competing. When I first started at Hornady, I started out in 600 and 1,000 yard bench rest, and, you know, started out with a 6.5 284 Norma, shot the barrel out in about 900 rounds, then went to a 6.5 Creedmoor, then just wanted to get something with a little bit less recoil, so went to a 6 Creedmoor. And, yeah, I shot, like I said, thousands. I think I've went through 16 pounds of H4350 reloading that cartridge.
Yeah.
And so it just – and I love it. I love my 6mm stuff, especially, you know, when you're competing and shooting, you want low recoil. You want to be able to spot your trace or see your impacts on your targets. That's the way to go. But the 6 Creedmoor, the reason I say I hate it, and it's not really because I hate it, but it's just, it tends to eat a barrel up about 12 to 1500 rounds. And you better start thinking about getting a new barrel or not taking that gun to a match, you know, where you're going to be competing, because that barrel could, the throat could go out at any time, and then you're go from shooting 1-inch groups, or, you know, under 1-inch groups, to shooting, you know, a shotgun pattern on target. So, but then I've taken deer with it. So my kids have shot, my daughter shot her first deer with a 6 Creedmoor. But that's where I would say that's the most, the highest, you know, usage rate is with the Creedmoor, is deer size game and down, and then competition wise. But the 6.5 Creedmoor is no slouch either. And honestly, if I'm being honest, I'm going to go from a 6mm cartridge in my competition rifle to a back to a 6.5 Creedmoor with really heavy 153 A-tips, because turns out this redneck can't read wind that well. So I don't want to have to worry about it. So I'm going to shoot 153 A-tips for my PRS gun next year.
Okay. This one is an easy one, but 22 Creedmoor versus 22 250, and getting something like that. Obviously, we had talked about you're running out the barrel pretty soon with the 22 Creedmoor, but just straight up buying, getting what would be the big difference between the two of those?
So there it comes down to, you know, if we're talking about 22 250, that cartridge has been around for quite a while. I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, Larry, but probably since the 60s.
Oh yeah, it was around when I was a young man. Yes.
So these older cartridges were always designed with slower twist rates, because, like Larry talked about, they didn't have the bullets, the same bullets that we have now. You know, obviously there's been a lot of advancements in bullet technology over the last, you know, decade, and so with those advancements, you start to see faster and faster twist rates. So the 22 Creedmoor, being a newer cartridge that's designed especially for shooting heavy for caliber bullets, has a faster twist rate. Where if you went and bought a factory, you know, Savage off the shelf in 22 250, it's probably going to come with at the fastest a 9 twist, and that limits you to about a 60-ish grain bullet. Where 22 Creedmoor probably going to run an 8 twist or a 7.5, and you're shooting 80, 90 grain bullets out of that. So
gotcha. My last question is, we haven't really talked, Ken mentioned it once, about 270 and 30-06, which really kind of were the standard rounds for a long, long time. And now all these fancier rounds have kind of like come out. What do you think that those rounds are essentially like just obsolete at this point, or what's what do you think at the for those?
Well, you know, them are two cartridges that probably even to today have taken more game than a lot of the new stuff because they've been a staple. And again, it becomes, I just call it gas tanks. All our newer cartridges are coming with bigger gas tanks so you can drive farther faster. But yeah. But you know, the 308 30-06, you know, the 300 Win Mag, they're all shooting the same, can shoot the same bullet. It's just the capacity of powder we can get in them to get the velocity to get that long range. I don't think by any means they're dead, believe me. 308 is been around a long time, and to me, out to 500 yards, out to five, the 308 and the 6.5 Creedmoor, the normal man, he ain't going to pinch a bug squat between them. After 500, that Creedmoor starts to come in, and it's all because of the ballistic coefficient of the bullets and what it's doing. Okay, it all perform after that 450, 500 mark. The 308 or the 30-06 again. That to me, that was what we called the poor man's Magnum that didn't have a 300 Win, right?
Right.
And the only difference again is shooting the same bullets that we can, especially the reloaders, you know. We can put the same bullets in that 30-06 is a 300 PRC or the 300 Weatherby. It's just the gas tanks and the, you know, got into it. And,
right.
And again, the long range shooting, you know, Matt here, he's a professional at it. I'm a dabbler. I've been around guns my whole life. I'm bar none, not saying I'm a bench shooter. I'm not, but I'm just saying this. Them rounds, all the rounds we're talking about, I don't care which one you want to give me to go hunting with. Again, I'm just saying, we can get it done with it.
Yeah.
You know, the deer's not going to know the difference. Well, you know, the other night, whether I had a 308 in my hand, a 6.5 Creedmoor, that 338 Weatherby I was running, it ain't going to matter. Okay, it's all what a guy's comfortable with and can shoot and feels good with. So, no, them are cartridges are never gonna disappear. We're never gonna make those. Them are the legends. You know, they came out in you know, Remington with the 7mm Remington mag. That one stuck for them. They made an 8mm mag, which was a great round. It just didn't stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Winchester went and done his thing with the short mags. Okay, and you know, some of it stuck, a lot of it didn't. If you're not a reloader, you got a problem with some of them, right? So no, they're there. They're still a great rounds, and it's just that we've gotten to where we want more. We want, I personally, like, you know, an inch and 100 yards, if I can't do that, that gun ain't with me very long, okay? And so we're talking about half in a minute of angle or a quarter minute of angle. And that's, so when you want to start shooting, that's 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 yard. That's what you got to have to really make that happen, so.
Gotcha.
Good cartridges. I've never owned a 30-06. I've owned several 308s. I have 308s in my vault. The 30-06 is a great cartridge, though. My dad, you know, when I grew up, he said, look, you know, there was 11 kids in our family. You know, Remington, you know, 870 Wingmaster, that's the best buy on the market for a shotgun. That's what you're going to shoot. And and a rifle, you know, you're going out west, you're going to have a 300 Win Mag. And my dad was a iron worker by trade, but he was a gunsmith on the side, and he barreled. This was years ago. He was into that, and there was some wisdom in what he had to say. It's, you don't need 10 guns in the vault. This one will do it all.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that?
not really. I mean, yeah, the 270 and the 30-06 are not going to go anywhere because we probably couldn't even put a number on how many, you know, Remington 700s or Winchester Model 70s have been chambered in those cartridges and are still out there and still being used. But so, you know, the other thing I always like to think about too is, and especially the job I had before I was in marketing for Hornady, I was in a customer support position. And so you talk to people, I've talked to people from probably every state in the United States. I've talked to people from Poland, New Zealand, Australia on the phone, asking questions, asking these very same questions. And so I always tried to break it down to what's your reasonable expectation of the round? You know, what's the max effective range that you feel comfortable shooting at, and then go from there. So, you know, most people are probably shooting 300 yards and in on, mm-hmm. on deer, antelope, even elk, you know, North American game. And so a 270 Winchester or 30-06, any of either of those cartridges will fill that bill every time and do it, have been doing it, and will continue to do it. So
cool. Jack O'Connor, if he was at our table, he'd tell you about the 270. I went on my first big game hunt. I was 16 and I went on a moose hunt and I had a 270 and it was in a Remington gun, and it was before the 700s come out. It was a 721, and I 150 yards on a, and at the time in Ontario you could shoot a bull, cow, or calf on your tag, and it was a last night hunt, and it was this huge cow. She was over 1,000 pounds, 1,100 pounds, and she was 150 yards from me. And my dad was with me, and we're coming around a bank in a canoe, and she's up on the shore. And so we're just kind of drifting, trying to get stopped, and she's just feeding. She don't even know we're there. We're coming down this river, and I feeds one right into the boiler. And she just lifts her head up and looks around. My dad says, "You missed," and he's reaching for his gun. I said, "I didn't miss. I didn't put your gun down." I racks in another one, and I feed one in there, and them two rounds weren't an inch apart. Right through her boiler. It took her. I mean, she staggered around a little bit, stood around there, and then she tipped over. Mm-hmm. That was a 270. But when I went moose hunting later on again, I took more guns.
Cool. Well, guys, this has been an enlightening conversation. Thank you for taking the time. But now we got to go out and get you a deer, Matt, because we haven't had the chance. So.
Yeah, it's been some tough hunting. The weather's been nice, but it's just been... I'd say it's been a little seasonably warm even in the afternoon.
Sure.
So
sure.
Not a lot of activity and movement. We did see some rut activity this morning, so that was exciting, but it just, we haven't seen that the one.
Yeah. So. Well, hopefully it happens this afternoon. So, Larry, you were saying it was not a very eventful time coming out here as a rarity.
Yeah. Usually Ken and I, there's something that comes up along the way, but it was a pretty good run out this year. We had good weather. Zero traffic when we left Michigan and the ride out here. So we had a good ride out and got camp set up, and everybody started showing up somewhere here before we got here. And it's been pretty eventful on the hunt here. We're seeing a little bit, but it's been tough. We've had some tough winds to contend with. So that couple of days were pretty slow going. The deer weren't moving.
You guys came straight out here, right? You didn't stop at all or anything like that?
No, with the anticipation of everybody coming and everybody's mental state, it was no time to stop. We started heading west with the old Ford and never stopped till we were pulled in the driveway. So worked out pretty good.
Yeah, man. It's been a tough year, though. A lot of, I don't know. I mean, would you say that the deer numbers are just down, or is it just not bucks, or what do you think?
You know, it's kind of a variety. Where we're hunting right now, they've shut down the mule deer hunting for the last 3 years. So this year was the first year they allowed it. And when I say allowed it, they were very cautious and very conservative with how many tags. So that has really, really helped the mule deer population and bigger bucks. So we were all walking around the past 5 days or so wishing we had mule deer tags.
Yeah, seriously.
So the number, the white-tailed numbers, I don't know if there's some corn crops that's up in some strategic places or what that might be, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's been a tougher hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt, how much have you white-tail hunted?
Well, so I grew up, you know, in central Nebraska. My dad wasn't much of a hunter, and so my uncle and, you know, some of my uncles and stuff like that and some buddies got me into hunting. So in, you know, sophomore, junior year in high school is when I started really getting after the whitetail, and we got a few mule deer there in Nebraska, but the hard part, like I've shared with you guys, Nebraska is all private ground. So unless you know somebody that's got thousands of acres or, you know, will let you hunt, it's really hard. There's not a lot of public. So what public there is gets hammered pretty hard. So, but yeah, I've just carried on through adulthood, you know, then taking my kids hunting and everything like that. So always chased whitetail.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Larry, you were able to take one out this season so far. And really, as far as people at the table, you're the only one that's tagged out out of the three tags that are here. So why don't you tell us about that one? Because you had a little bit of a switcheroo on you once it actually got shot.
Well, we Ken and I, we try to get together and do a hunt together every year. We're always going in every which way with different clients and stuff. And so we did our little walkabout, and it's a great hunt. It's a, 4 or 5 mile deal in and out, and we just weren't seeing the deer that we normally see, and the wind wasn't quite right, but we kind of used it to our advantage to let us blow down into some of the draws. And we were pretty much wrapped up on the hunt. It was getting, the sun was getting on the horizon, and man, we're a long way from the truck, and we got to start making our plan to get back. And we went down a little saddle, a little water hole. We just looked down the bottom. Ken caught a glimpse of a deer slipping around the bottom of this trench down there, and we busted up over a saddle, tried to cut it off, and we get there. We're huffing, puffing, and I'm on my sticks just kind of overlooking. We see a little muley down there and then a doe. And then all of a sudden I spot this whitetail, and he's a pretty nice buck. But what made him unique is he had his whole rack hanging down on the one side below his face. And we're not talking about a little drop time. We're talking the whole rack, 4 points. And
looked like it grew downwards.
Yeah, it looked like it grew downwards for sure. So I told Ken, I'm going to shoot this deer. And he said, well, just hang on a minute, get Jake, let the cameraman catch you, because I was on the trigger already waiting. And we pulled the trigger on him, and man, we piled him up, and I was excited to get down there and get my hands on this unique individual. And we got
that. That's really a big, it was a nice deer, but that was the big reason why you shot it, right?
Yeah.
Because it was the uniqueness.
Yeah. And if his rack would have been normal enough, I probably would have shot as well, because of as tough as the hunting's been here, it'd be hard to let him walk. But that just, I would just, when I seen that thing hanging down a foot below his chin, I said, man, I got to do this. And I get down there and I hit him through the shoulders, and a pile drived him. I'm this new cartridge I was running this year, a new gun from Weatherby, and it was a new 338 that they come out with RPM, and I had a 185 grain bullet in there, and I reloaded up for Hornady. Anyhow, it hit him hard, made a mess, and he piled on the ground. I get there, and I go to grab this thing, and it's all just flopping, because now that I shot him, and it didn't do what we thought. It grew like that. He got injured. Whether he got hit by a car, run into a tree, I don't know how he would have damaged his horn like it was, but it was there and affixed. But after I hit him, it fell, and then the pedestal, down into the skull plate, it came loose and busted. And because it was an old injury for sure,
yeah.
And it was a good hunt. It was a unique deer, and Ken, and the fashion we do, we broke it down right there in the field, and we deboned it, come walking out of here with it in his pack, and we had the head and back to the truck. So it was a good hunt.
Was like the break was like leathered over, scabbed whatever. So it had been there for a while.
Yeah, very unique deer. So
and healed up. But yeah, well, that's cool. Well, and how far off a shot was that?
I don't know. Ken had ranged the bottom of the hill originally, told me like 3 something. And so I dialed to like 250. And then once we got down to it, Ken had ranged back up and said it was like 186. But all I know is I put the crosshairs right in the peen of their shoulder, and that's where it landed. And it was one shot, done deal.
Yeah. And for the listeners, we've talked about it before, but Larry's a pretty decent shot, especially in the longer range. And we've had quite a few good shooters here on this trip. Had a guy take out a coyote pretty long distance away. But thanks for joining us, and definitely check us out on all the socials. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Leave us a review if you have an opportunity, and we will see you guys in the next podcast.